Most of the fashion shows that are done in Nigeria, in the time I was very involved in it, people come for your fashion shows and take pictures of your designs and don't necessarily buy in that fashion show. So you spend a whole lot of money on a fashion show and you don't make money. But if you are able to muscle the pursuit of it after the fashion show and just keep going for different fashion shows, you just might break through.
In this episode with Ayo Okpa-Iroha, who is a fashion expert and multifaceted entrepreneur from Nigeria, we discuss fashion business, the history of African fashion industry, and more. Welcome to today's episode of Parallel Perspectives, where we're with Mrs. Ayo Okpa-Iroha. It's a pleasure to have you here.
And the pleasure is all mine. My name is Ayo. It's fun to be here. I look forward to time with you guys.
Yeah, welcome. Welcome to our studios. Yeah, in Evanston.
So it's great that we've been talking as family and friends outside of this, you know, studio setup. And we always have a good time, a great time. And I feel like today our conversation is going to be gearing from Nigerian politics
to Nigerian fashion
and African fashion generally, especially in the wider play of things, you know, like how we're exporting our work, you know, beyond the African continent, you know, your experience in the fashion industry back in Africa and, you know, out of Africa as well. Your take on fashion development and your hopes for the developing, would I say, industry. Yeah.
I think I like the way you put it, because saying developing industry, it is developing. It should develop bigger than what it is. But I think if I like to answer the question, the different questions that you've put together, just...
No, I haven't even asked. I'm just saying, like, these are the things... I mean, these are, like, areas I hope that we delve into today.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Oche, why don't I...
Yeah, I think I'll allow her to kind of set the latitude with the question you already asked so that we can then pick it up from there.
Okay. So, Ayo.
Yes.
Tell us about your background in fashion, coming from Nigeria and beyond.
So that's a good one. I've had 2 decades plus in the industry, starting from being a lover of fashion, growing up with a father who only wore bespoke, and to moving into the industry as far back as 1997, and learning the art of the trade, learning production itself, traveling within West Africa for almost 15 years of my life across a number of countries in West Africa, Ghana, Ivory Coast, Senegal, Mali, and looking at the industry from all of these perspectives, and also coming back into Nigeria and hoping that the industry can really grow from where it is, which it has, from the time in which I started to look at it, from 97 to 2002 to 2012, it actually has really grown. But that has been my own journey as a tailor turned a fashion designer turned a merchant and then owning a factory. Yes.
I remember recently my mom, I was on a video call with her, and she said that she had just returned from a meeting. I saw the fabrics that she had on, and the wrapper is this one. I can't remember I don't know the exact name for it, but it is like black and white.
Is it like the Ntoreka?
It is worn mostly during August, burials.
There's one they call
August meeting.
August meeting.
There's one they call Kilikilista. Mm. And then there's one, you know, that is worn during burials, that black and white one. Mm. So I saw her with the black and white one. I was like, did you go for a burial? She was like, yes. And I remember, you know, like talking about cultural difference and also context, mm-hmm. That fashion kind of creates in different localities.
Mm-hmm.
From your experience around Africa, how did you see that diversity expressed through the language of fabric, the language of fashion?
Wow. lovely. I'm even trying to think about the idea that it's black and white. I'm trying to think, if I may ask you just before I answer that question, where would you say your mom is from? What part of the country is it?
My mom is Igbo from Anambra State.
Anambra State. Okay, yeah. Beautiful. Because I know that largely black and white is mainly known to the Benue people. In terms of the long line.
The stripe. But yes. This one is...
I know the material you're talking about.
It's almost like...
Yeah, it's a very common, it's a very common design material.
Wow.
You see most Igbo people wear, even in Lagos. You know, where I normally see them wear it maybe when they are returning from a meeting, but I'm very...
But some people don't know what it is worn for. Some people, you might wear it for like... It's not a fabric you should wear to a wedding.
Yes, mm-hmm. yeah.
But if you don't know,
yeah,
you're just appropriating.
Yeah.
You would, yeah. Right? But anyone who is local would look at you and be like, "Nah, so
you see how seriously interesting these fabrics define our traditions, society.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because they just help amplify those traditions,
yes,
right?
Mm-hmm. Because it now identifies events within the culture that is going on. You would not, for example, wear that kind of material or fabric in itself to a wedding.
Yeah.
People are gonna look at you like, are you sure you understand what you are doing?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So it could be a message to the couple that they're going to die.
It could now be expressed. You know?
That's superstition.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
So seriously, that's how fashion defines people. It also gives you a certain level of confidence anyway in the context in which fashion is going. So to the younger generation, you can see what they are doing with fashion. But to your question, across Africa, interesting to know the fabric that is used, or the what we will look at it as ashoke in the Yoruba culture, but it's not necessarily ashoke, but it's woven the same way that the Ghanaians use. They had a particular color for the longest of time, but today they have that particular fabric in different colors that are so unique and so beautiful. But you'll be amazed at that particular fabric that they wear as a natural cultural. I wish I remember the name.
Is
right
it the kente?
The kente, beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
Kente has beautiful designs now compared to the yellow, green, you know, that old color we used to know. They now have pink of it. They have blue of it, but you'll be amazed that they wear it in Nigeria, in the river people. A particular tribe in Rivers wear exactly the same fabric and the same style that the Ghanaians wear.
It even goes beyond that, because I noticed even in the diaspora, even here in the United States, that kente has filtered into the academia. You know, when you see graduating students, black,
I wore one.
You wore one.
Yeah, I ordered it on Amazon.
Yeah. So
it's probably it's probably made in China.
Yeah.
I wore my piece of kente for graduating, and now every person who identifies as black or African of African descent wears that while graduating, instead of the regular shawl, you know, that could have been used for their graduation ceremony.
It's amazing how...
Yeah.
How...
It's representation.
Yeah, identity and representation.
Exactly. What are your hopes for the developing ecosystem for the fashion industry?
Mm.
Yeah.
That's a very big one for
especially, to interject again, especially when you're looking at exports. Right outside of the African continent.
Yeah.
For example, I have someone there's someone I'm working with, and she recently was just organizing a photo shoot, and all of her outfits, she's buying it from a website called Ofure.
Oh, Ofure. Okay.
And if you go to Ofure, you'll see, you know, suit pants and jackets and all kinds of designs, you know, everyday outfits, office, corporate casuals, dresses.
Made in Ankara.
Made with beautiful Ankara fabric, right? And they are great. The design quality looks nice, but they're usually on the high end. And if we're thinking about exporting and producing also for our local people, for the main extreme, what are your hopes? For the mainstream. Because I mean, look at me. I wish I could wear some of Ofure's outfit right now. But if I bought each piece that I admired, my bank might probably break. Right? And that's the thing. You see things like from $200 above, you know, and so on. So how do you see the evolution basically of our work? Yeah. Fashion-wise,
honestly, I'm happy where it is now compared to where it was before. But there are a lot of things that play out in coming to a price such as that. So we have. I don't know if this will be a good platform or a good forum to say this, but there's a lot that is not provided for the industry to enable different levels of price points.
Provided by who?
By, if you allow me to say, the government. Okay.
Like policies,
So policies that
economic provisions.
That engender, you know, the flow down to production price points, that which will work within the Nigerian space for the buyers within Nigeria, and that which will work for the international space, for exporting, for that which will work.
Yeah.
Okay, because for an Ofure, for example, to come to that price, a lot has gone into producing. And all of us know in reality what it takes to produce. And then she's been able to, you know, largely build a name or a brand name that gives her that pedestal to even put at those prizes. You know, so when I look at the prizes,
I mean, they are worth it. Don't get me wrong.
Yes, of course.
They are all worth it. They are all valuable.
It depends on how, you know, when you say worth it, it's a good word, but it's perception that we're now also dealing with. Because if I see the fabric, I'm going to immediately split in my head. But this fabric is in Yaba, for example. You know what I mean? And that's how we are looking at it and saying, so why is the price this price? But a lot has gone into coming to that. So most of the designers have to deal with perception, especially because they're dealing with me and you and the local markets. And that local market that me and you go, where we buy the same fabric and one tailor destroys it, she's been able to put class, touch, and brand name to that fabric and put it out there. Now, I and you know that this can just be this amount. But the person out there, maybe in I don't know, Brazil or in the US sees it, they don't float into the market with us. So that tells you then that her target is not looking at the local market necessarily, where all of us are biting from, which is what is creating the competition and the wrong perception. She's looking at the international market, which is perfect for her because it will give her good returns on her business, you know. But my hope is that we have an enabled environment, first of all, that allows more manufacturers to produce fabrics, yarns for the industry, so that you have more players, you have more competition, and then you have price points that are very competitive. But till then, this is what we'll be having. There's a whole lot of struggle. It's an industry I play in for years. And then I produce for garment merchants in numbers. So I know what they have to deal with when they are trying to create their numbers. They are struggling with the fabrics that will fit their numbers in terms of production. These are the challenges. I don't think this forum allows us to say these challenges, but this is our reality, right?
I think you're welcome to say
as much as you can. Because we're also trying to be solution providers and through this platform and also create that awareness for emerging markets in the Global South that are looking for breakthroughs, not only with it in Africa, but also in other parts of the world. And also because I wanted to come back to the issue of fashion shows, because you mentioned perception. To what extent or what degree does these fashion shows help?
Most of the fashion shows that are done in Nigeria, in the time I was very involved in it, people come for your fashion shows and take pictures of your designs and don't necessarily buy in that fashion show. Mm. So you spend a whole lot of money on a fashion show and you don't make money. Yeah. But if you are able to muscle the pursuit of it after the fashion show and just keep going for different fashion shows, you just might break through. But if you look at it critically, and allow me to say this, if you look at it critically, it just evolves around a certain people. Mm-hmm. It doesn't go beyond those certain people. Mm-hmm. So if you're not playing in that circle, you don't go beyond it. Mm-hmm. You don't get to that place that, you know, you would imagine, yourself when you dreamt after coming out from Yaba Tech, or for example, and you come into the industry and you don't go beyond it. And that's because realistically, a whole lot of things are not taught. That's another
taught where?
In terms of fashion schools? No, they are not.
What kind of fashion schools are you familiar with as far as Africa is concerned?
So what I mean by fashion schools, there are a number of fashion schools that we have in Africa, within Nigeria, Best Bet Ghana. But in Nigeria's space, which is where I'm from, you are not taught the business of fashion.
Yeah.
You're only taught to cut and sew. They've even been able to, in the last 10 years or 15 years, let me give you the latitude of 15 years, begin to break the industry where you now see people say, I'm an illustrator. Oh, I'm a pattern drafter.
Mm-hmm.
20 years prior, nobody knew that.
Mm.
I have a situation where a parent called me and said to me largely, my daughter is doing fashion and she cannot even touch a machine. She can't even sew. She doesn't even know what she's doing. And I said, are you sure, ma'am? And she said, yes, I know what I'm talking. I'm sending her to you. She needs to talk to you. Maybe she's not really focusing in school. She's doing other things. And then I speak to the young girl and she said, ma, I am learning drafting, but her mom only sees that she's supposed to be sewing on the machine.
Yeah, okay.
That's how the industry does not best break these stages for people. Right? And so when the young girl comes out, her mom doesn't think she has gone to school. What are you going to do with
drafting? Fashion drafting.
What are you going to do with drafting? So that's the big situation we have in the industry.
Are you referring to a formal education where you go for like a bachelor in fine arts?
Yeah.
Are you talking about an informal?
Oh, I'm talking about both school. The formal.
It could be both. Yeah,
the formal and the informal. The formal, which is the universities where you learn all the, they don't have it. I mean, they don't teach them the business of fashion. And that's the truth. You learn on the dogged floor.
Mm.
You learn on the and it's difficult.
Outside of this, creating local factories and everything, what is missing? What else is missing that can contribute to the internationalization of Nigerian fashion produced locally?
Mm.
And, you know, exported to other parts of the world.
A lot of things are changing. I think what I've realized, or what I've seen, that the Nigerian diehard person,
mm-hmm.
diehard entrepreneur has done is to move from a complete dependency on the non-availability
mm.
of fabrics, is to work with what they have and create all of the adherence that you see now.
Mm.
Of course, I'm wearing one,
yeah.
you know. So that's what they have moved into, to now create a body of work, styles and all of that. That, for example, is pretty sustaining in that sense, where a lot of the creatives amongst them have taken tests on different fabric textures to do their dye work and just create a body of work. Now, some designers are now moving to working with these adire makers of different styles, because what we knew as Adire back then, some almost 30 years ago, 40 years ago, was just the regular Ogun State Adire, which is like blue and white, and maybe
indigo.
Green, indigos and all those things you have. But now it has become extremely, extremely, what's the word? It has become so beautiful.
Sophisticated.
It has become very sophisticated. People are beginning, but in China, it's biting on it hard.
Yeah. And now your gospel. Oh,
No. Her gospel. Yeah. Let us say her gospel so we can wrap it up for this edition. And I think we have to bring her back for another episode because there's a lot that we want to ask her that we've not even asked, but we want to hear your gospel.
So my gospel to fashion designers is go where the runway is going.
Okay.
Go where the runway is going.
Okay.
What does that mean?
That just means that for you to build a brand, you continue to follow innovation.
Okay.
That's how you build a brand.
Wow.
Yeah.
One more thing, our tradition. Who would you recommend for us to invite?
They can't be Nigerian.
No, they can't be Nigerian.
Because now I feel like something's wrong. Yeah. Nigerians just keep referring us to Nigerians.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Who am I going to? Oh Lord. Because it would have just been we can interview someone in Ghana.
Who would that be?
Can I get back to that behind the scenes?
All right.
Okay.
I recommend a lady in Ghana.
Okay.
She's a designer too. And so she can speak from the Ghana perspective.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.